And you're live.
All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rashan Messianic Bible College. And we are here, and we're like, you know, the last days of school when nobody really has anything to do. So the teacher brings cookies and and you kind of talk to your friends all day because, you know, you're out of school in a couple of days. Welcome to that day. Because we are basically finished with all the material and criteria that you need to graduate. We're getting some video information in, or video messages in, from different people. And I got one from Linda the other day, and I didn't get to look at the whole thing, but I just opened it, and I'm just thoroughly shocked. Did you guys realize you didn't know nothing about Hebrew before you started this? That's a lot of growth in 1 year. Well, maybe a year and about, you know, a couple of months or so, but it's a lot of information. Now you guys even try to send me stuff. Linda called me yesterday with a new Bible study about Eli, the prophet, Eli, who was the high priest or something, and his son's name was Eleazar. And she called me to let me know his son's name was Eleazar. He was in charge of the temple, the same as the Holy Spirit is in charge of our temple. I was like, see, that's what Hebrew does to you. It makes you see the Bible the way God sees the Bible. And I was like, wow, you are absolutely right. He's the Holy Spirit. So he should be involved in the maintenance of the temple, because that's his job inside of our bodies, you know, is to maintain that temple and to make sure that oil, he's the fire that we put the oil in. He's the fire that keeps it going, you know. So it's an awesome thing to see people learning the word of God, because that was my dream. Well, I think what we say, God will give you the desires of your heart. And it really means God will first, he will give you desire. He will give you desires. Then he will give you the desires of your heart. And he gave me a desire, because after I started learning the Bible so much, I wanted everybody to know all the things that God was showing me. Because, you know, if you keep something and you're stingy, God won't bless you with more. But if you give it away, he'll give you more, you know. So that's what I did. I just started trying to share the information that God was giving me with other churches. And sometimes people were very receptive, and sometimes people were like, oh, we don't want to hear about the Jews. What's so important about Israel being reborn again? That has nothing to do with the New Testament. And I would, my eyes would roll, and I would just walk out of churches. I was like, wow, they won't be inviting me back. And I wouldn't go back if they wanted me to, because they really didn't want to know the Bible. They just had this preconceived notion of this is what the Bible is. I saw John Hagin. I think I told you guys about this. He wore a tallit.
Yeah.
And he was preaching with his tallit, and he was trying to explain to them that inside of this tallit that he was wearing were 360 laws, a numerical value of 360 laws, and the gospel and the in Genesis 1, verse 1 was also a numerical value within the tallit that he could actually show you with the yod hey vav hey on the zitzits and all of the numerical values. Well, anyway, these two pastors came over and railed him, saying, "You, he's trying to be a rabbi. He don't." I'm like, he's trying to show you that Christianity has a root, and a root of our Christianity is Hebrew. Without the Jewish people, I'm going to ask, do you know that Jesus was Jewish? You know, because some people don't know that. They think he was a white guy from Switzerland with blonde hair and blue eyes hanging on a cross very comfortably, you know, waiting to go back to heaven. But he was actually a Jewish person. He had a Jewish mom, Jewish dad. He kept Jewish laws, all of this stuff. So to learn the history of where our Savior comes from and how he was thinking and speaking and what he was meaning when he was saying is all in the Hebrew language. So I'm thankful to God for what he did to me. And I say what he did to me because it was like he cracked open this little eggshell of mine And he said, I'm going to put some knowledge in there, and I'm going to do some wonderful things for you. And then he told me, I want you to go to Psalms 119 and read the letter Mem. And I went to the letter Mem in Psalms 19, and it says, because you love my word, he says, you will become, you will teach your teachers. You will become a teacher of your teachers. And I was like, wow, God is really going to give me understanding of his word. And he did. And then that's where this whole thing began.
Is that Psalms 119 or 119?
It was 119 here. Let me read it. Let me see if I can read it here. There it is. Psalms 119. Yeah, I said the Mem in Psalms 119.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You got those letters. And the Mem in Psalms 119 is, watch this. This is, now I was working as a quality assurance manager at a finance company. And this was, God had already called me to start to ministry. And he gave me this. Okay, there's Lamed Ayin, Memnon. Here's a Mem. It says, Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Because God knows, like, I would be in the Bible, like, I was going through the Bible. Like, I just loved reading the Bible. So it was a meditation of my heart all day. It says, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. And your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I restrain my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgment, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every evil way. So the Lord was letting me know, he said this when he told me, he said, I have more understanding than my teachers. He said, I'm going to make you a teacher of your teachers. And I said, wow, okay. And that's really what God has done. So I wanted you to know, they were asking me if I was a good student in college. And I have to admit, I was a smart student, but I wasn't a good student. Like, I knew how much I had to do so I could play football, you know. But if you were a football player on our team, or if you were someone that you were having problems keeping your grades up, I would write your paper for $40. And, you know, you'd get a pretty good grade and I'd get paid, you know. So you can't be that dumb if you're making money writing exam papers for other people, you know. So I was smart and I knew enough how I can get mine in on time, too, and I can get yours in. And so I liked studying, but I wouldn't say that I was a good student. But I really loved studying and really loved reading when it was something that was very important to me. And that's what the Word of God is, very important to me. Okay, I want to read something, then I'm going to get into my testimony so you'll know where this all came from, okay? In this book, it's called The Shinar Directive, given to me by Linda Sorcey. I was reading, it says, Satanist Supreme, his name was Aleister Crowley, opened a portal in which he released a being from another dimension known as Oswas, which claimed to be a messenger of Horus. Now, who is Horus? Horus is the fake son of God from Egypt, okay? That new religion. So we know that that was a demon. And so, but this is what he says. He says, also then dictated the work that became known as the Book of the Law. okay? And that was the Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law. Now, this is Satanic Laws, right? The book is increasingly anti-Christian, and this spirit announced to Crowley that the end of Christianity was near and that mankind would be entering into a new age called the Age of Fascinating Child. The new age would release an age-old secret held by Freemasons and many other mystery religions, a system to gain eternal life through sexual vampirism of children. In other words, an age of homosexual pedophile to extend one's life and to enhance one's occult power. Now, if you think that this practice is not being practiced throughout the world right now, and the reason all this pedophile stuff has come up, they are practicing a religion, and they really believe by doing all of these things that they're extending their life and gaining eternal life from another force by doing this to children. And I'm saying this not to make anybody uncomfortable, because I think the church needs to get uncomfortable, yeah. Though. We need to know what's going on in the world. We're not at the point of the rapture because, you know, the world's a nice world, but God's just tired of the niceness of the world and he's ready to get his plan over. No, we're in a very serious spiritual war. And there are things going on in the world that we, as regular, non-criminal-minded human beings, even if you don't worship Satan and you're just a person that's confused about religion, we don't understand the depths of the evil that's going on underneath that we don't see. But God does. And God says, it's time to get my church out of there. Okay? Now, last night I talked to you about something that's very important, is our itinerary, and that we're leaving. We're about to enter into eternity. We're about to experience the crowning service and the feast and the 7-day feast of the Gentile church. Because remember, Jacob had to give his feast to Leah before he could marry Rachel. Everything's already planned. And the whole 7 years and 6 months is planned. And we know it because what we're about to experience before May 14th is happening in Nisan. And then we got 6 months. And then after that, we got 7 additional years for the tribulation. So all of this stuff is going on right now. Okay. And we're about to leave. And we don't understand that the rapture is a spiritual reality, meaning it's more real than you walking around and going to work, that God knows that the rapture is a reality and he knows that it is happening. It has happened. He knows that this is something is going to happen, right? To God, it's already defined. In every book that I've read, God has always mentioned a group of people that disappear from the face of the earth before the tribulation begins. Okay? So I want to kind of tell you guys a little about my story. When I got saved at 17, I was not at a Bible teaching church. Did I pray first? No, I didn't. Okay. I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit reminded me. Let's pray first. All right. Bow your head with me. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshim Ha. Tavo Mehuteke Yit Aserot Sanaka. Be Aretke Asherne Asa Lishamaim. Tilano Hayom Lechem Hukeno, Ushalak Lanu et Ashmetenu. Ke Asher Solechimanaknu, Le Asher Ashmilanu. Vial Tevienu Le Demasa. Kim Hatsilanu Min Hara. Kilaha Hamamlaka, Veha Givora. Vehativ eret leolamei leolamim. Amen. Baruch Shemcha Adonai Torah Rabalaka leazor li v'hakasha, as I give the history of what you've done in my life. I had a dream when I was very young, and I didn't know what it meant or what it was. The dream was I had walked out of my church that I got saved in at 17, and I saw these two looked like 9-foot angels. And everybody was in awe of them. And they said, everybody's name that I call, come with me. And so he called some of our names and we went with him. And swoop, we were up in the sky and we were in a big room. And there were hundreds, maybe thousands of people, and everybody's chattering at the same time. Who's here? Is the pastor here? Is this person here? Is that person here? What's going on? We're all in there and everybody's talking. Then the angel comes forth and says, it's about to happen, right? So we all looked out from where we were at, which seemed to be like a big window. We could see the earth, and fire was coming from where we were and hitting the earth. Once it engulfed the earth, God turned to us, or the angel turned to us and said, turn around and go into your homes until the end of this. So we turned around, and what we thought was a room was individual homes. It was just beautiful, right? And I woke up. Now, when I had this dream, I didn't know anything about the rapture. I had never read 1 Thessalonians 4. I never read anything about one taking the other left. I didn't know anything. I just know I had this weird dream. I kept it in my head, but I didn't know what to do with it, okay? I just know that one day an angel is going to come and take us, and then the earth is going to be destroyed. And so through all my walk in Christ, of walking away from him, going to Islam, not going to Islam, because people say you can't go to Islam if you don't do a Shahada, and I never did a Shahada. So I'll say walking away to my interest in Islam, to coming back to Christ. And all of these things that I was going through, it wasn't until, I guess, after being in prison ministry, someone had talked to me about the rapture, and this was about 2001. And they told me that, you know, about, have you seen this movie? And I said, well, I don't know what movie. It says called, no, the something in the sword or the knife. It was a black and white movie about the rapture. And I watched it and I was like, wow, I never seen that. Later, Left Behind came along, but Left Behind was like when by the time we had the church, that's when Left Behind came in. Then we actually showed the movie to our church. But the Cross and the Switchblade, that was the movie I saw. And so I started thinking, oh, this may be what the Lord was showing me, you know, that, you know, these people are going to get taken out of the world and all of these things. So I started really thinking about, okay, the rapture taking place. And while I was in prison, I was telling them, you know, well, you know, the end of everything is the end of the generation of Israel. And they were rebirthed in 1948. So I was telling people in prison this, and we're having, because I'm doing prison ministry, and me and Pastor Ben are going to the same church, and you know we're friends by this time, mm-hmm. And we're going to this church, and the Lord says, okay, I want you to come out of prison ministry, and I want you to start a church. Well, I did not want to hear that because it was my dream to be the best prison minister ever. And to really, I saw the benefits of me being in there because people were getting saved and renewed understanding of the scriptures and everything. But that's not where God wanted to leave me. He wanted me to start this church. And so we started this church, me and Pastor Ben, because nobody was really even with me. But I said, hey, I'm going to start a church. My wife said, no. Pastor Ben said, yes, we are. And so we started the church. God gave me a vision of the church. I started the church. And the Lord, because the Lord had called me in 2003, we started the church in 2004. The Lord had called me in 2003. And it was January 1st, 2003. And he presented before me a 6,000-year count. That was accurate from Adam to the 6,000th year, which landed at 2017. And I had been in prison telling people that 2018 was going to be the rapture and the end of all things, right? And now I'm looking that 2017 is into the 6,000 year count. So I'm thinking, okay, I was wrong then, Lord. But from there, the Lord started teaching me, okay, about what happened in 1947, that it really didn't start in 48, it started in 47, because that's when they got the agreement from the UN to start the Israel going back into their home. And then in 1948, they actually went out. So it was 1947 and 48 that actually was the birth, and then the birthing and then the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. And so knowing this 6,000 year count, which was absolutely perfect, but I didn't know the details of it until I started showing it to other people, what God had given me. And then people have said, hey, someone came to me after one of our services and says, hey, in that count that you gave me, did you know the 1948th year in that count was Terah, Abraham's father, began to have his children? And I was like, no, but that's crazy that it would be exactly at 1948. It wasn't until later that I realized that Joseph was 17 when he started his ministry, and that Jesus was born 17 years before the 4,000th year. And God was teaching me all of these things, how the Bible is constructed, okay? What's the importance of waiting 4 days before you kill a lamb, you know? And why God had to wait 4,000 years before Christ could die. All of these things were playing into God showing me. Then he started showing me what happened in 1967. When he showed me what happened in 1967, then he said, how far apart was 48 from 67? And I went 19 years. I prophesied that. Then he took me to 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8. And it said, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, he came back and took Jerusalem. He said, I already knew about that 19 years, 2,520 years before it happened. And I'm like, wow. So God's blowing my mind. Like, you have constructed all of these things to happen and to happen the way you want them to. Then the Lord said, now I'm going to show you something else. That Hitler and Germany was already prophesied by me in scripture in Hebrew. And if you understand the Hebrew, you'll understand it. So I started looking at Gomer, which was Germany. And I started looking at God saying, in Germany, name your son Lo Ruama, and name the other one Lo Amin. And in Germany, you'll have no mercy, which is what the kid's name was. And you will not be my people. And he says, it's going to be in Gomer. And this is who you're going to marry. And he's saying, this is where you're going to be. So I'm like, God, you already knew that the children, your children were going to be in Germany, and that's where the punishment would happen. He says, yes, now I'm going to show you how Hitler's Nuremberg trial and how Hitler died is in the book of Esther. And then he showed me Haman. And he said, well, look at this. Haman dies and his 10 sons are hung. And then he says, now look at the jots and tittles. I'm looking at the jots and tittles in which are letters that are smaller or bigger that God puts in the scriptures on purpose to say, I'm trying to tell you something. Well, the jots and tittles of it was 19, it was 707, which is 1947, okay? So I'm looking at that, and for us, it would have been 1947. I don't want to get too deep into that, but I'm looking at that, and this is in 1947 or 46 after September, so it's 707 on Israel's. And I'm looking at that, and I look at the Nuremberg trial. You can look at it on YouTube now. It's in black and white. The last guy that gets hung says, Purim Feast, 1947 or 46, right? Purim Feast is Esther. So he's blurting out that this is the same thing that happened in the book of Esther in 1947, 2,000 years later. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, what kind of God are we serving? What kind of incredible God that we are serving that is pre-telling us history before it happens?
Amen.
How can God possibly do this? That was just the tip of what God wanted to show me. Okay? Because then he started showing me that every letter, every scripture, every passage is talking about his plan. That you can find 6,000 years in Genesis chapter 1. You can find the crucifixion, the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection in Genesis chapter 1. He started showing me all kinds of incredible things. He started showing me that John's conversation with Jesus in Genesis in the book of John had 8 times they say born within the conversation, because Jesus was. Then he showed me that Jesus' name is 888, and then he showed me that the rock that's in Deuteronomy is 296, and 3 times that is 8, you know, was 888. And he was like just showing me all these incredible things in scripture, and he was telling me still the same thing he told me in 2003. This is your job. This is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard. And I gotta remember that God said that. This is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard, okay? That means that people aren't gonna like you and love you and accept you. It's gonna be one of the hardest things you ever did. So now that I had a year of 2017, I said, well, the last 7 years of existence is what? Tribulation. So it must going to be a rapture in 2010. So I start preaching 2010. 2010, there's going to be a rapture. Now, God understood what he was doing, but I didn't. But at that time, as I'm preaching from 2004 to 2010 about the rapture, people from all over the world are getting saved.
Yes.
We had a friend in Paris that he came here and spoke at the church. He had a little church in Paris, and he would start showing our videos in Paris about the rapture that's going to happen in 2010.
During service.
And they would be watching our service during their service and hearing me talking about the rapture as he's interpreting it in French, right? And so his church went from a very small church to over 3,000 people. And he said he don't know how many people that they baptized within that period of time. Then they made him, because his church grew so fast, they made him over many of the churches in his area, right? And they're getting people saved. Yeah, a bishop. And so the people are getting saved. I'm talking to people. And I was on the news in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And they put the English subtitles,
yeah,
saying that I was this guy in California saying that the world is going to be raptured in 2010 and we had better be ready because a lot is going to happen in 2010. They got me on the news in Russia off of YouTube, okay? So everything's going good. We have a pretty good sized church, young people, full church, everything's going. 2010 comes and there's no rapture. But let me tell you about 2010. This is how I got so big. January 11th or 12th, 2010, they had an earthquake in Haiti. And when they had that earthquake in Haiti, people said, oh my goodness, you see how the 2010 has started off, Pastor Sandy? That means that something's going to happen. So they saw 230,000 people die in an earthquake. Then the next month, there was another 7.0 earthquake. Then in the next month, there was another 7.0 earthquake. Not until the 7th earthquake was Christ Church.
Seven.
Then on what they call Easter Sunday, there was another 7.0 earthquake. So we're having a 7.0 earthquake every month during the year of 2010. So now it's not just a few people that are listening to Pastor Sandy. The whole world thinks like he was right. January 1st, 2011 comes and we go to sleep. We get up and no rapture. But we look at the news and it says 20,000 blackbirds fell dead in Arkansas. And I said, Pastor Ben, I don't know what happened. But I was not, I can't say I was mad at God, but I was very disappointed. Like, I've been doing all of this stuff since 2004 and there's no rapture. So I vowed, I'm not talking about it no more. But I said in my brain, if you want me to talk about this again, you're gonna have to come to me by my bed, wake me up and tell me to continue doing this, okay? Because I was done. And 2013, wake up, Sandy. You requested this. Okay? Now you have to get back to doing what I told you to do because the day is near. So I'm thinking, oh my God, there's going to be a 2013 rapture. Now, I didn't believe in a 2013 rapture, but I started saying, okay, maybe something's going to happen that I don't know about. But what God had given me was the 2010 to 2017. 2013, I preached rapture a little bit, but not too much because I really didn't believe in it. The whole 2012 thing, I didn't believe in that either because I was like, I'll read about it, but I'm not going to believe in it. But the Lord was showing me, I asked God when 2017 came, what do you want me to do? This is the year that you gave me. And he said, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. Okay. You guys. So I get a call from my friends in Martinique. They said, we want you to come. We want you to preach. And when I went there to preach, I didn't want to preach 2017. The Lord interrupted my sleep and he said, tomorrow you're going to teach about 2017 and the rapture. And I was like, uh-uh. And he said, you are. This is what you're going to preach. You're going to show them the timelines. You're going to show them everything. And you're going to show them why there must be a rapture, right? And I did that, you know. But at first I was saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And I said, they don't even have a board for me to write all this stuff. I didn't bring my board, Lord. So when I get to the church, they take a big picture off the wall, and there's a writing board. I look up in the sky like, oh, my God. So I start writing the information about this coming rapture and 2017 being this pivotal year that God gave me. And this is the year that I believe is going to happen. I leave there, come back. We're on fire. There's another guy named Scotty Clark talking about September 23rd, 2017. And he's got everybody on fire. So, and he calls me. Scotty Clark says, there's going to be a rapture. It's going to be at Rosh Hashanah. I said, Scotty, I don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture. I believe there will be a rapture, but it won't. I don't think it'll be at Rosh Hashanah. But there will be a rapture. So he made this beautiful board for me and we became good friends. And then, but when I told him I didn't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture, he really didn't talk to me anymore. Okay. So when September 23rd came and went, I'm thinking, I'm reading Song of Songs. I'm saying it's going to be a spring rapture. That's why. And so all of this stuff is going on. 2017, of course, comes, right? Spring rapture, which I thought we're going to have a spring rapture, comes and it goes. But think about what happened in 2017. Everything that happened in 2017 was so prophetic. I mean, from signs in the sky to earthquakes to holes in the ground. There was so much going on in 2017. Everybody thought this is the year. When it didn't happen, I submitted. I said, you know what? There's only one more prophecy that we can all look to now. And what prophecy was that? Jesus gave it. So I gave a message called the last date setter. And Jesus says, when you see Israel rebirth back into the world, okay, understand that this generation will not pass until when? Until all these things happen. Now, when he says until all these things happen, he's saying these future things that I'm about to talk to you about now. Okay, it wasn't what he had previously talked about, because the apostles asked him the question, when will be the end and how will it happen? Jesus explained that whole thing. He explained, okay, this is what's going to happen. There'll be wars and rumors of war. This is going to happen and this is going to happen. And he gives this whole scenario all the way up to verse 30. And he said, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect. Who are his elect? The Jews. They're not gathering the church. They will gather his elect from every four winds from the earth, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay? And then he says, and then that's it. Okay? That's how what he says. This is how the end is going to be. That was the end of it. Now in 32, there is a Greek word that says, now we're speaking about a new subject, and 32 starts. And he says, okay, I just finished telling you how it's going to be and everything that's going to happen. Now, in verse 32, he says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree, meaning that now I'm on a new subject, okay? Then he says, as soon as you see the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation, the fig tree generation, will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Then he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So he said, you can be assured of this. Yes. This is not going to pass away. We're in the 70th year, and Jesus says, this 70th year will not pass away until all these things happen. Watch this. He says, no one knows the day or the hour, okay? So when you see this fig tree come, and he says, and you're in this last generation, he says, no one knows the day or the hour that is going to happen, okay? Now, since I learned Hebrew, and I understand that no one knows the day and the hour, when these things is what you call an idiom. It's an idiom. An idiom is like, I was so mad, I hit the ceiling.
Oh.
Did you really hit the ceiling? He must have been able to jump pretty high. That's high ceiling, right? It's an idiom, right? So, and it means a couple of things, okay? First of all, it means a new month starting, because you don't know the day or the hour that a new month is going to start, especially Rosh Hashanah, okay? Because you have to see a new moon before the new month can start. Okay. The other thing it means is that no one knows the day or the hour. Only my father means this is a wedding. Everyone standing around there that's Jewish saying, wait a minute, what do you mean no one knows the day or the hour, only the father? To them, they know he's talking about a wedding now. Okay. Then he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the day before the flood, okay, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be. Okay, and what took them all away? The trouble of the flood, right? That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. 2017, God said, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Okay? Then he says, this is going to happen. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. Immediately, people start saying, oh, the people that are being taken are going to be taken to be destroyed, and the people that are left are going to be taken to the kingdom. You can do that if you just read English, but God taught me your English Bible is about as reliable, okay, as a lazy man fixing your roof, okay? You have to monitor him to make sure that he's doing it right so that the job gets done right. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So God said, you have to monitor an English Bible because you sometimes they write what they think it means. And sometimes they write what, well, we couldn't figure it out, so let's think of something, okay? But they're going to write what they feel, but the language is going to write the truth, like dividing the word of truth, okay? So, okay, I'm going to divide the word. I'm going to divide all the words up. I'm going to say this scripture goes with that scripture goes with this scripture, and then these are scriptures I should read, those scriptures. And God is like, I never told you to do that. Dividing means I've already designed the word on a straight line. Divide means stay on the line. Okay? So that's a completely different definition, right? In this scripture, now that they're saying this, okay, it says those will be taken. So I looked up the word taken, and it said perolambano. Then I looked up the word left. I think afami might be the word, I'm not sure, but it means to be divorced as a husband leaving his wife. And so I said, wait a minute, the ones that are getting taken or paralambano means taken to be a friend or companion of God. And the one that's left means you're being divorced from God. So God is making it specific that the people are being taken for a great reason. And the people that are left, God is saying, I'm divorcing you. So I said, oh my God, Lord, can anybody be left if they know Christ? He says, of course, because the only way you can leave somebody is they have to be invited. You can't leave. If I don't invite you to dinner and I go to dinner and take some friends, you can't never say Pastor Sandy went to dinner and he left me. Why? I never invited you. But some of these people accepted Christ, but they went back into the world. Some of them accepted Christ, but they're living a double lifestyle. Some of them are lukewarm about it. It's like all these people, and God says, these people, because he says, lukewarm, I'm going to spit out of my mouth, okay? And he says, you don't have enough oil in your lamp. You're going to come back and say, that you're going to have to go and buy oil for yourself in Matthew 25. So God is kind of confirming exactly how he feels, right? This is what's going to happen. Then he says, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be perolambano, the other one left. And he says, therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house would have kept watch, the thief wouldn't have broken in. Because the thief is who? The high priest. He's coming through to make sure that your temple light is still, the flame is still on. So if the high priest wouldn't have caught you, if you had not fallen asleep on your temple duties. Amen. You are a temple of the living God and you have temple duties, and that is to keep the fire for Jesus burning inside of your temple. So I'm like, okay, Lord, this is what the Lord is telling me. Prepare my people to leave. Now, can I prepare you to leave if I start telling you once you're saved, you're always saved? I'd be working for Satan. Because now you think, oh man, I can still party and drink and have friends and have fun with my friends and just go to church. And God knows that I accepted him when I was 14 and I'll be fine. And then you end up like, oh, how did I get in hell? What's going on? He's like, okay, so my last thing is I'm going to read today because we're running out of time. But I want you to know that there's been a long history of me and God dealing with this. And I'm not a really, really smart guy and all that stuff. It's just God called me. And I mean, my calling was not like, someday I'd love to be a pastor. I think I'll go. My calling was, I was on my knees praying and asking God, because I needed a job. I had a new wife. She was pregnant. And I was like, hey, I need a job. I'm on my knees praying for a job. I get quiet and I hear a voice like this, forceful. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and speak. And I sat up like this and I said, Lord, I can't be a minister of ministry schools in the daytime. And I work in ministry schools at night and I work at night. And the same voice said, what does that have to do with what I just told you? And I said, okay. So I go to church on Sunday, and the minister comes up. He says, I have a big announcement. Because people work at night and can't make ministry school, we're going to make ministry school in the daytime. I look and go, okay, I'm going to ministry school, right? So I went to an in-house ministry school, got ordained as a minister, and that was, you know, the beginning of this calling. Now, the other last thing I wanted to read to you was this, and I talked about it last night. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. Okay? And it says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Anybody who's Jewish now knows he's talking about a marriage. Why? Because once I ask someone to marry me, we drink wine together for the last time, and I say, I will not drink again until I see you in the kingdom. Now, or I went till our wedding day. Now I have to go and prepare a place for me and you in my Father's house. So then, and I let you know I'm going to come back and get you and take you to my Father's house, and then we'll consummate the marriage. My Father will let me know when the marriage date is. My job is to build the house, right? So now I know this because God says, don't just learn Hebrew. How are you going to learn Hebrew and not learn my culture? Because you won't know what I'm talking about. So now I learn the culture of God, okay? Then he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you, the same word taken and left, paralambano, as a friend or a companion, I will come back and paralambada you, or to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. In heaven, right? You know the way to the place where I'm going. And what's the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Okay, so I want you to know I didn't start a YouTube channel so I could talk about the rapture, okay? Me and Pastor Ben were talking about the rapture since 2004. Yeah. We started a YouTube in 2005 or 2006, right? And our normal viewers were 191. Maybe. We were getting, and we didn't care. We just knew how to do it, and we said, well, we'll put it on the air, okay? We didn't care. We were just like, we're going to preach it, and we're going to put it out there, and we're going to let people know to get ready for the rapture. Rather, it didn't happen in 2010, or rather, it didn't happen in 2017. We know that there's one last date setter who set a date. Jesus set a date by giving us the fig tree. Do we believe Jesus? This is where I'm at. I'm like, okay, there's two dates been gone, but those are my dates because I was trying to figure it out. Okay, but now I only got one date set left, and that's Jesus. Should we believe him or not? I wonder if we should believe. Let's see if he ever made a last generation testimony ever before. Oh, yeah, he did in Matthew chapter 23. He said, this generation, he says, this will come upon this generation. See this building that we just came out of? Every stone is going to be turned over and it's going to be torn down. Yeah. And every stone, he said, it's going to happen in this generation. 70 AD came, first month, nothing happened. Next month, nothing happened. Third month, nothing happened. Well, fourth month, hey, he said the temple is going to be destroyed in this year, and nothing's happened. We're on the fifth month. Then the month of Av came. First day of Av, nothing. Ninth day of Av, complete burnt down of the temple, every stone turned over. Yep. In the 70th year since Christ was born, and it happened, and the date setter, Jesus, was correct. Why was he correct? Because he is that prophet that Moses talked about.
Yeah.
He said, you better listen to this guy. You had better listen to when this prophet comes, you better listen to him. And I'm telling you, we all need to listen to him. Because if we don't listen to Christ, we will be as same as those people in 69 AD who thought our temple will never be destroyed. We'll be those same people, okay? And we have to understand that Christ made... I'm not giving you a rapture prediction based on Pastor Sandy or any other date setter. I'm giving you a date based on Yeshua HaMashiach, who says, it af echad leoti. To lie, to shakar, okay? So it is impossible, okay, for Jesus to lie. He couldn't tell a lie if he wanted to. You know what impossible means? You couldn't, if like, it's impossible for me to take off from here and fly. Unless God pulled me up and I'm not flying, he's pulling me, right? So it's impossible for God to lie. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he gave you a date set. We've all been warned, and we all know Thessalonians talks about some will be taken while they were still walking around. Okay, first those who are dead in Christ, and then those who are still walking around will be taken. The book of Esdras in the Apocrypha says, when we return, the people will see those who left the earth without ever dying. The Apocrypha's talking about it. The Bible. Enoch left without. So the Bible knows that this day exists. God has planned this day, and it's up to us to have an active relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be taken out of here so that we don't have to go through any, it says, to escape all that is about to come upon this world. So whatever they got planned for this world, destruction, death, and all of this, he says, you be ready so that you be able to escape all that is about to happen. Okay? So that's our my word for you today is I'm not changing. I'm sticking to Jesus' prophecy. He's an awesome date setter. He hasn't been wrong once. You don't have to think about me. You can think about Christ. He's the date setter in this. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. What are we doing?
Amen.
Are we praying out?
Yeah.
Let's pray out. Let's pray out. Thank you guys all for all of your incredible homework. We're trying to figure out how to have an online graduation for hundreds of people. Okay, but we're going to do it because it has to be special. So I'm thinking of a way to have an online graduation that we're all involved and it can be done well.
Amen.
So let's pray out. And I'm going to sing. Yivarekeka Adonai v'yishmareka Yair Adonai panavileka v'chuneka Yi'aseh panavileka v'yasim l'ka shalom. V'yasim l'ka shalom. And the Lord said, may the Lord bless you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Continue to send in your final exam, your speaking, your message, and we're going to get the diplomas ready. And we're also going to have a special way for us to celebrate all of this hard work you've done.
Amen.
God bless you. Lichiyot, Beshavu Chabah.